Welcome to the Market Mystics Podcast. I'm Joshua.
I'm Kim. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the show, everybody. How are you today, Kim?
I knew you were going to do that. I'm doing great, Josh. If you're watching on video, you can see I'm in a new office.
I was just going to point that out.
So that's something new, at least. That's going on.
Do you want to just share a piece of why you're in a new office? Because I think it's pretty cool.
Sure. Our company, Jason, my husband and I have a company called Podcast Solutions, and we are in the process of moving our studios to a new location, kind of newer, shinier, nicer.
Kind of, it's a little bit of a upgrade.
It is. Yeah, it's an upgrade. And already, like, so many people coming by and wanting to say hello and all the things. And it's been really great and a really nice, warm welcome.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I feel good today. I'm in my same office. Which sort of, like, you know, you can't really see much on my video. It's just curtains behind me, but I'm doing good.
That's so funny. Okay. So today we wanted to talk about, okay, so we do all these different episodes, right? And we're always like, hey guys, leave us a comment. We love the comments. Ask us a question. Tell us what you think. What's your experience? All these things. And today we wanted to talk about a question that we did receive on one of our YouTube videos from our interview with Paul Young, which is funny. I'm telling you, I feel like for the last 5 episodes, he's come up in every single episode. Isn't that wild?
Yeah,
it is. Just, it's like, I don't know, there's energy on it or something. It keeps coming up. Okay, so I will read you the question, and then we're going to talk about some parts of it, and some parts we're not going to talk about, probably, because I feel like we need a little more clarification, but some of it we do want to talk about, okay? So this is from a user ID that I'm not going to read out, but the guy's name is Steven. He says, I could never understand the killing of innocent people and even animals in the Old Testament and then see Jesus saying things like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And trying to reconcile the two is impossible. But when the scripture says that all scripture is God-breathed, I've just kind of glossed over it or glossed over the Old Testament and focused on Jesus. So my question is, how does this way of thinking honor scripture and yet be true? I've always said that God is love, but also see Jesus saying things like, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better to enter the kingdom with one eye than be cast into hell where worm doesn't die. I want to understand, but I'm struggling somehow. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think, first of all, thanks for the comment. Letting us know we do read them, we do talk about them, and if it's a comment like this, that we'd love to address it. Like, so thank you for writing that. Kim, I've sort of in the pre-talk shared a little bit of my thoughts, but I'm really curious, like, your thoughts and how that struck you, like.
I think I want to address the first part of the question. So I actually really want you to address this part, but I'll go on to another piece. Okay. The killing of innocent people and even animals in the Old Testament. I would love for you to talk about that. But the part that really was striking me is, the scripture saying all scripture is God breathed. And then he says, I've tried to kind of just gloss over the Old Testament and focus on Jesus. I think we tend to get really consumed by the Bible being scripture. However, when that was written in Timothy, the all scripture is God breathed. That was before the Bible, as we know it, was even compiled. That happened at the Council of Nicaea. I think it's Nicaea, right? Mm-hmm. In what, like 500 AD? Somewhere around there?
Yeah, I don't remember.
It was during the time of Constantine. And so it was taking the different parts of and accounts of Jesus' life and what happened afterwards and all that and compiling them. I believe it was very much prayerfully done so, or I hope it was. But so that scripture saying all scriptures God breathed is actually talking about Old Testament, and it may not even be the entire Old Testament as we know it. It may simply be the Torah, because this was from Timothy, who was raised a Jew, who would have observed the Torah as the scripture, right?
Yeah. And like Kim said, like, I'm not really sure at the time of his writing how, like, what all he would have considered to be scripture.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot to that I think we don't understand, because from, you know, my lifetime and our parents' lifetime and our grandparents' lifetime and our great-grandparents' lifetime, the Bible has essentially been what we see it as today. But
yeah,
like, there was a lot of years where it was kind of being formed, where people were discussing what books go into it, what books stay out of it, because there was a lot of books that would have been considered like holy texts, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so, like, looking for continuity through them, looking for legitimacy through them, like, it was a big process of deciding what goes in there. And so at the time of Timothy, sure, like, I really don't have a good grid or understanding of what that would have been, but it likely wouldn't have been how we see it today.
That's true. I will also say this. I'm just going to give a caveat to what I just said. So, like, let me give you the technicality of what the scripture said, and then let me just give you my true belief about it. I actually believe that if you look for God the Father in accounts of him, you will find him. Yeah. And so I think also when Timothy says all scripture is God breathed, I think that can kind of be applied to a lot of things. Like, how many people have heard testimonies of what God has done for other people and been really moved by that? And you've heard his voice through how he moved through someone else. And so I'm someone who is constantly looking for what God is breathing on. And I don't always look only to scripture. I look for him in the wind blowing through the trees, and through Josh telling me what he's learning, and through my daughter playing at the park, and through, I don't know, tasting a piece of hot bread out of the oven. I don't know. All these different things. Like, I look for him in all of the things. And when I look for him, I find him. So I'll say that too.
Yeah. And I think, like, we're not saying that the New Testament wasn't also, like, inspired or God breathed, or, like, we're not saying that. We're just saying, like, when it was written, what would he have considered, like, the right scripture?
Exactly.
Like, think maybe, like, think about that, and how does that apply? And yeah, it's just kind of a thought experiment, like, and to bring some perspective. Yeah.
For sure.
But I love the fact, like, I mean, okay, we call ourselves the market mystics. So seeing God in everything we do, in every conversation we have, and every person we interact with, like, that's kind of just part of the description. it's kind
of who we are.
Kind of in the job title.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so Josh, do you want to talk a little bit about the Old Testament?
Yeah. So just to recap the thought, it says, also, if you're watching on video, and for those of you who aren't, Kim has a painting behind her in the background that was hanging on her wall that just fell down. That new office needs a little bit better painting hooks, I think.
Maybe just not the adhesive ones, you know, that come off easily.
Yeah.
Because they come off easily.
That's funny. Okay, so let me recap his statement here. I could never understand the killing of innocent people and even animals in the Old Testament. Okay, so first of all, I just want to preface this with all humility. I'm not an expert in Old Testament or in really anything that we've talked about, definitely not this, but I have heard people address this topic. And so I just want to bring a perspective that helped me reconcile some of those stories. So if you look through the genealogies in the Bible, you find stories of the giants of the north coming, and you continue looking through the genealogies. I believe that every time in the Old Testament when there is a commandment for men, women, children, and animals to be slaughtered, it is because they are from one of those giant descendants, from their lineage, from their bloodline. And there is a somewhat consensus that some of the giants would have been the like Nephilim that were the offspring of the Watchers that came down. And so the way I heard it talked about, which helped me reconcile it, was a lot of the Old Testament and even the New Testament and even today in life is a fight for your blood, is a fight for purity and bloodlines. And they had to protect the bloodlines so that Jesus could be born of a pure bloodline. And so you get stories of wiping out the civilizations of giants. You get these stories of the flood where like the Nephilim were running around and there needed to be something that happened with that. And so there's these stories that are repeated, and I'm not saying this is 100% fact. I'm saying this is something I heard, which helped me reconcile it, was like the reason that the killing was mandated was to protect the bloodline because it was very specific how it happened. And that to me makes way more sense than, oh, there's these random people and we just don't like them. It's not like the Hatfield and McCoys, like you have a feud. And so you're just going to go kill their bloodline. Like there was a purpose and there was an intent for it. And that intent would be because it wasn't a like God created bloodline.
Do you think that's why we don't see that happening in modern Christianity? I'm trying to figure out how to like justify this question. In modern Christianity, why we don't see that, or even in Judaism, we don't see that happening, those commands happening from God now, is because it was being preserved for the bloodline for Yeshua?
I think that's likely. Because, and I know you and I have had conversations, I don't know if they've ever been recorded, that I believe Yeshua fundamentally changed what is accessible in our DNA. Maybe even just changed what like a human is. Not exactly sure, but he carried something that was different from anyone before him.
Sure.
And so maybe there didn't need to be a need for it to continue past that, because he brought the ability to unlock what was needed when he came.
Interesting. Okay, so I want to advance on that, but I also want to backtrack just a little bit. Why do you think it was not okay to not be of a pure bloodline for them to just exist, if they weren't going to like muddy the bloodline that Jesus would have, like,
yeah,
could they just exist without muddying his bloodline, I suppose?
No, I do think they could, for sure. Like, I don't think that that was necessarily the issue.
I think it was like the mixed breed, like being a hybrid, different types of beings being cross-pollinated.
I think that's part of it. I think part of it is also up until maybe the flood, they're like at the point of the flood, it says Noah and his family were the only pure of heart left. And so does that mean that they were the only ones who were pure blooded? I don't know. I'm not exactly sure, but maybe they were the only ones who weren't open to that. And so first of all, I think it's God's incredible mercy to wait until there's only one family left. Like, that to me speaks to your question. Like, it's totally fine for them to exist up until there is no other possibility. And so it makes me wonder if the stories in the Old Testament, like, did they pose a threat to everyone else? And so there wouldn't have been a capability for that. I don't know. Sure. Because like the Bible talks about the Nephilim were on the earth before the days of Noah and after. And so it's not like it stopped.
Well, I could be remembering this wrong, but wasn't Noah's daughter-in-law who was on the ark a Nephilim?
That is
something like that.
People's thought.
That's a speculation.
I don't think the Bible actually addresses.
You don't think the Bible says Noah's daughter-in-law, the Nephilim?
No, I don't think it does.
Join them on the ship.
I don't think it exactly says that.
Maybe in the Message.
Maybe. Maybe. Or the Amplified or one
or
of the
Or in
other
the Amplified
versions.
Version. Could be. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, well then it's widely believed that someone who was with Noah on the ark during the flood
carried that bloodline. Yeah.
So then my next question would be, do you think what Jesus changed inherently in our DNA was the ability to redeem any of those things?
Yeah. I don't think that it necessarily, like, I don't believe that there is like a pure bloodline that you have to be from. Like, I don't think that's it anymore. I think he brought the ability to redeem your bloodline.
Got it. Do you know, there's speculation. I'm just going to say this whole episode is speculation. Okay.
Yeah.
Just, there's our disclaimer. It's in the middle and enjoy it while you have it.
It might end up in the title.
It will probably end up in the title, probably in the show notes too, because I don't want you to take this as the gospel. Right. However, I would challenge you to listen to it and listen for truth and check everything with the Father and see what he confirms for you. Where was I going? Oh, it has been speculated that a lot of the royal bloodlines they carry Nephilim blood.
Sure.
And it is also speculated that the Rh factor in your blood type can be indicative of the same thing, This is speculation. Like, put all the quotes around it, the big red warning bells, all those things. This is speculation. But you know what? The Nephilim are really interesting to me. And I've gone down the rabbit holes and I've read some things and I've watched some things. And I don't think that it's all 100% truth. But there are certainly things that ring as truth, or at least pieces of it. And so I'm just curious. I'm curious to know kind of what you think about that too. Oh, also, here's the other disclaimer. Please comment on this and tell us what you think, because I'm really interested in this and I'm not an expert, but I want to know more.
And if you know experts, comment the experts' names so we can reach out to them.
We would love to have experts on about this.
Yeah, for sure. So my thoughts on like, who is a Nephilim today?
Like, do you think it still exists? I don't know any of that stuff.
Oh, I think that there is still evidence of it in bloodlines today. Yeah. I think, you know how like you can have something in your genetics that's like predisposes you to something, and it may or may not actually exhibit itself.
Sure.
Express itself ever in your life.
Yeah.
I think that it's probably a lot like that. Like, you could possibly have something like that in your genetics, but have lived a totally normal life, absolutely in love with Yeshua, and never have anything with it. I think that's totally possible.
Oh, I think so too. And I think that's what he did. And you were talking about that is he activated something or deposited something. How did you say this?
Brought in something, our DNA. Deposited something. Yeah. Changed something.
Something innately so that those markers don't have to be what keeps us away from God. Right. Mm-hmm. So can it be redeemed? Can you still then be seen as righteous? Can you still be a manifest son of God walking on the earth, building his kingdom and operating as a child of God? Mm-hmm. I think absolutely. And I think that's one of the beautiful things that he did for us, and how that really changed the trajectory of the world, of mankind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And so like, yeah, I do think that there's possibility that there's Nephilim blood, but I don't think that it's like, I don't think it's something you should spend time thinking about or worrying about. Do you have it? Like,
it's not doom.
Like, whether or not you do or don't, like, I truly believe Yeshua redeemed you. And so your only thing you would need to do is go to him and say, hey, can you, or did you, or will you, or like, what do I do to redeem my bloodline?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'll deal with that with you. And it's probably not going to be complicated. And it's probably already done if you have a relationship with him and you can like live without ever thinking about it.
That's true. Or worrying about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to take this conversation to the next level. And remember way back in the beginning when we started the podcast, we would talk about like mystic things and we'd be like, okay, let's get weird.
Yeah.
Here's our let's get weird moment. Okay. Maybe we should have done this as bonus content, but whatever. You know what? This is for everyone. What do you think? Because it's also been speculated. I'm getting into a rabbit hole. Okay. I'm not saying this is happening. I'm saying people are saying this. Okay. Where aliens are procreating with humans. This has been speculated. I have no proof. This is not like a deeply held belief. But if that was the case and created hybrids again, but it almost like a different crossbreed. Do you think that is retroactively covered and redeemable? Or do you think that requires something else or would require something else?
That's a great question. I think it would make our future way more interesting.
If there was the cross pollination there.
Yeah. Like that's just never a thought that like anyone I know has ever like had to think about, like, but if you did, like, wouldn't that be such a interesting future?
I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting indeed.
I don't know. I don't know if it would be like, I don't know. I can't say I've ever really thought about that. I don't know what would happen. I mean, okay, but here's a question in sort of that same vein. So the Neuralink was just in February put into the first human, February, January, sometime, put into the human. It's a computer chip that goes into your brain.
Okay.
And the person has been able to move a mouse and operate their computer just by thinking about it. Like
telekinesis?
No, like with the chip, like the computer chip that goes into their brain, they've been able to program it to where he can operate his computer by just his thoughts.
Oh, I thought you meant move the physical mouse, not the cursor.
No. Just
the, I'm like, holy just, cow.
No, just the cursor on the screen. But like, that's an interesting development in humanity that I don't know anyone that I know thought they would have to consider.
That's like, true.
That in a way is a hybrid being.
Kind of. It's a, yeah, kind of. It's not like bred in though.
No.
It's like and an it's add-on. Not, it's integrated.
Right. And it's not like, this is a curious thing. What if you had that your whole life and you were just used to having the entire world in your head? Like already, I would argue that most humans are somewhat hybrids already because they carry your phone and can't operate without your phone. But then to embed that into your brain where it's part of you, it's not something you can separate. Like that, like if you had, like if you put that in as like a young adult and you have that for your whole life and then you have kids, do you think their brain patterns or genetics would be altered at all? Not that they would have the same capacity, but do you think it would be altered at all because you have changed so much of your way you operated before you birthed them? Or do you think it would have nothing to do with it and it would just be a normal person?
I don't know. I think there's memory and bloodlines.
Yeah, that's why I'm not sure. Like,
yeah, I don't know. But you know what else I wonder about the Neuralink? Do you know?
I think it's Neuralink.
If I say it fast enough, nobody will know the difference. A Neuralink.
Oh, it's an A. Neura. Neuralink.
Okay, so in this device, I wonder how it will affect your brain's capacity to learn and to remember things. Because with constant access to all of the information, our brain was made to remember, right? And think about if you're constantly taking in information, like you're constantly reading a book, you're constantly studying over notes, constantly watching a certain episode of a television show, you know it. Your brain knows it, whether that stimuli is there or not.
Yeah.
You know? And so if that is there, is your brain learning all of this stuff? And then if at some point you take it out, can you, number one, still operate the same way because your brain has learned how to do it? Number two, still recall the information because it's learned everything.
It's a great question. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it gets used, because the initial
reaction?
Usage of it, or the initial plan for it,
okay,
is to be used for people who have medical conditions that are neurological,
like hearing loss, or
because if it is only neurological, you could put a chip in that would change. So like some even like paralyzed people who don't have use of their limbs, where it's not a physical thing but it's something in the brain, like it's what they're hoping for is this chip will be able to unlock that again.
That's fascinating.
And so it's not necessarily just built so you can like play games in your brain. Like it's built so that for a health thing. Now that could evolve in 15, 20 years to like where you're just walking around listening to Spotify all the time. Like, I don't know.
Or sending snarky text messages to a person across the room and nobody knows it.
Right. I don't know. So I don't know. Yeah. I think I'm not sure how to answer the question, because in the, like, from what I know of the plans of it, at least initially, like, there probably wouldn't be ever taking it out. Like, it's like, hey, you got to put this in or you're going to die, or you can't live your life normally. And so I don't know that it's, I mean, I guess it would be an elective surgery, but or experimental thing, but like, it's not just like, I'm going to try this out for 5 years type of thing.
See, that's interesting to me, because how do they know that these chips aren't going to malfunction?
I don't think they do. Like, they're very early in the testing. And this is, I know that it was the first human test that just happened this year.
It's interesting. I would hope that it wouldn't have to be a permanent thing. Like, if it no longer serves you, that you'd be able to remove it. But then what if it did the opposite as well? You know what I mean? Like, what if your brain relied so heavily on it that then it didn't continue to retain information because it was always just readily available? Like, same question.
Yeah.
Right? It could do one of two things. It could do both things. I don't know. And I know there are all these concerns. I think people think that Elon Musk is like somehow evil for inventing this, because it could be used in nefarious ways.
Sure.
But I just have to say, I don't think you can blame an inventor for the misuse by other people, like for the misuse of the device by other people. Wasn't Oppenheimer, the movie, kind of about the very same thing?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I would really like to see it, but I haven't seen it. But yes, I believe essentially that's the point of it.
Yeah. And you know what? We met an inventor who, do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Who made things in his home country, and he said he would make them as long as they were not used for XYZ, because that would be essentially a crime against humanity. And then they took it and they did it anyway, even though they said they wouldn't. So is the responsibility on that person who made it, even though they had the best intentions and were simply inventing? You know what I mean? I think you have to, I know that this is really shifting things, but like the person who's using it or misusing it kind of needs to be held responsible. And so when there are innovations like this, even with AI, we've talked about this, if you choose to use it in a bad way, it will become a bad thing. If you choose to use it in a good and life-giving way, that can we not make it be a good and life-giving thing?
No, I totally agree that it's it's one of those things where it's like, you don't want to, you don't want to not innovate just because someone might use it poorly.
Right.
But also that's a consideration. Like, that's, I don't know.
True. I mean, what if God never made trees because someone would take a stick and hit somebody else with it? Well, he made the tree.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, there's, you could apply it to anything. I think that we have to be the responsible parties and how it gets used.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this conversation went all over the place.
It did, for sure. I would really love to know if our listeners have thoughts on the Nephilim part, if you have thoughts on the Neuralink part, if you have like people here like, oh, they need to talk to this person because what they said was absolute crap and this person knows the real stuff. Like, let us know.
Yeah, tell us that. For sure. Again, this was all speculation. This is us just talking through the things that are interesting right now to us. So by all means, we're open to other opinions, facts, experts, all those things.
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks for joining today, guys. Hey, thanks for listening. Keep up with us along this journey by liking, subscribing, and becoming a member through YouTube.
Members get exclusive access to bonus content with our guests, deeper dives into topics, and a look into other projects. We're glad to have you here. See you next time.